The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of Praise 107.9 or its parent company, Delmarva Educational Association.
Welcome to Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. We invite you to stay tuned as Bishop Hill brings to you a relevant word for the real world. Come with me now to a service already in progress.
We know the story of Abraham and how God calls upon him to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. But what's wonderful is that while we read it after the event has taken place, and we know that it's a test from having heard the lesson preached so many times, Abraham in that moment does not know it's a test. Abraham does not know that God has picked him out for this particular moment to pick on him. Abraham is not aware of the fact that God wants to do something so significant in his life that it requires that he check or test Abraham's faith. Abraham has no clue. He is none the wiser that when God requests of him to sacrifice his only son, he doesn't really want his only son. He wants to see at what level Abraham's love and faith can actually exist. I want to help you this morning because I believe that many of us are going through things right now that if we were really told, we don't like what God has allowed to come into our lives. I don't have any honest person in the room this morning. You know you don't like the fact that God has made you learn how to live on a budget. You don't like the fact that God has made you learn how to live as a single woman or a single man. You don't like the fact that God has caused you to have to deal with the pain of bankruptcy or the peril that is car repossession. You don't like the fact that God seems to be taking his precious, sweet time in answering the prayers that you prayed. And I came to tell you this morning, regardless to how you have been responding, God wants to put us in situations where whether we really are going to have to give up what it seems we have to give up, the reality is the test is about whether or not our love and our faith can endure. You don't know when you're going through what all God is trying to get out of you. So whatever he's asking for, you don't know what really he's asking for. And what's interesting, Reverend Hill, is for a lot of us, we approach everything God does as if it's just the test. As if we're only faithful enough with the hope that what God takes away, he's automatically going to give back. And that's a dangerous thing to believe, Dr. Chester, because it would have us to think that God just wants to push us to our limits, test only our patience, when God is not just concerned with how patient you can be or how tolerant you can be with him making you wait or take back something from you that he blessed you with. But honestly, God wants to test the level at which you can let go of anything that he requires or requests from you. I came to tell you honestly that maybe what God is taking from you, you ain't gonna get back. That maybe the situation you're in right now, God's answer is no. And so I want to shift angles. Tyrone, it's good to see you, man, and kind of deal with something a little bit different. So we'll see what the Holy Ghost says. But in reality, there are too many of us that have only submitted and sacrificed because we thought God was just going to hold it for a little while. And I can tell you that God's not interested in you just having all of the perks or the benefits of Christianity. That honestly, your life gets no better if you don't deal with the reality of the burdens of Christianity. Did you know that your purpose in life is not limited to just what you think you can do? You know, we don't even pray. How you got over here? You don't even pray the right way. We don't often pray the right way because we pray for God to reveal our purpose. We pray for God to reveal what we are supposed to be doing, how God's will actually works out in the things that we do in our life, not realizing that whatever you believe you are purposed to do, if it does not ultimately fit the plan and purpose of God, then God is not going to have you to do it. Did you know that the whole of your life is supposed to fit in God's plan? That if what you are living and what you are doing and the career choices you make don't help other people see Jesus, it's not God's purpose. Did we already take up the offering? Because I don't feel like the people like me right now. Here's what's real. Here's what's real. You will never know the ultimate reality of what your life can be if you're seeking it outside of what God wants from you. Let me remind you from the passage in Acts that Elder Hill shared with us on last week. It is in Him we live. In Him we move. It is in Him that we find the fullness of our existence. And if we are trying to exist outside of Him, then that, ladies and gentlemen, will never be the will of God. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? So if what you're asking God to do in and through you has nothing to do with Him. You know, one of the things that convicted me just this week, it was when I read the scripture, that doggone Bible app. It said to me from James that you don't have sometimes because the only reason you want to have is to consume it with your own lusts. Like, why do you really want what you want from the Lord? This is the predicament that Abraham is in. He has desired and received a blessing from the Lord. And now God comes back to him to test him. We know that. Abraham does not. Abraham just knows God gave me what I asked for. And about 13 to 14 years later, he says to me, give it back. I want to know how many of us can really follow God when he's being an Indian giver. How many of us can really worship at the expense of what you love? See, some of us, we have promised to praise God if he saves our husband. We've promised to praise God and love him to the full if he gives us a new job. We've told God that our devotion would go to a whole new level if he would put a few extra dollars in our pocket. When in reality, if that's all you want, if that's the only way God's going to get his best out of you, I can tell you that may not be the recipe for a response from the Lord. Can you love God when you feel like you're losing? Because what we've been presented, unfortunately, in Western civilization, Janae, we've been presented with a Christianity that tells us that the only way you'll know that God is with you is if you keep receiving at his hand. We've been led to believe that if we aren't blessed materially, if God doesn't heal every malady, then God must not be with you. And so it has conditioned and changed even the way that we pray. We only pray for God to bless us. We only pray for God to heal. When was the last time you heard somebody pray, God, use this sickness for your glory? When was the last time you had somebody say, Lord, while I don't want to go through divorce, if this is how you show Jesus. Because if the truth were told, I picked the person I picked for the wrong reasons, and we never should have got married, and somebody should have answered in the affirmative when the preacher asked, if there is anyone here who knows just cause why this couple should not lawfully be joined together. Somebody should have stood up and said, time out. But we've been led to believe that if God doesn't fix everything. He's not blessed us. And I came to tell you that the real way God shows us who he is and can be in our life is not when he's handing out gifts. It's not when he's pretending to be some cosmic concierge, some kind of blessed bellhop bringing you everything that you want. It's when he says absolutely nothing and makes you stand in spite of. I wish I had anybody in this place who knew what it was like to love God in the face of everything negative going wrong in your life. I wish I had somebody who could say, I know what it's like, Reverend, to lose my life, to lose my child, to lose my loved one, to see everything that I wanted go out the window and still determine, for God I live. Wish I had a church in here this morning. And for God. Don't worry, I can't bother you but 11 more minutes. Tell your neighbor, you need to know how God really is. The question that gets asked is, when God is at work, what is he testing? What is God actually up to? I'm going to tell you real quick three things that God is actually up to. The first test is he's testing your willingness to obey. How obedient are you really? I learned something as a parent that I didn't really get as a child, and it was that obedience didn't always look like obedience. At least not to the eyes of the person who's required to be obedient. I would tell my children, hey, wash the dishes. You know what my children would do? Absolutely nothing. They'd sit right there. And then when I came back, because I walked away with the assumption that they were going to do what I had just told them to do. When I came back and they were still, Sister Sample, not doing what I wanted them to do, I got mad. Hey, I said, wash the dishes. Now, some of y'all added extra words because y'all don't know Jesus like I do. You told them what kind of dishes they were, didn't you? Uh-huh. All I said was, wash these dishes. And you know what the response was? I was going to wash them when I finished watching TV. When I finished my phone call, when I finished playing this game. And in their minds, because they heard me and acknowledged the request, as long as they did it at whatever time they were ready, they thought that was obedience. Can I help you, church? If you don't do it when he tells you to do it, it ain't obedience. Listen. If you don't move when he says move. Listen. This is for all of the people who know God has told you to do something and you decide you're going to wait till after church to do it. God told you, I'm ready and I ain't playing with you no more. You need to come on and give me your life. And you be like, okay, so like as soon as I come back from Miami. Because what you want to do is get that one good last trip in. And the way you and your little friends are set up, being saved, and the way y'all do Miami, they don't quite go together. Tell your neighbor, be obedient. Because here's what you got to understand. Your willingness to obey tells us that really any sacrifice you give is a marker that you love God more than what you sacrificed, including your own will. Some of us haven't realized that when God is testing our willingness to obey, he's not testing us by what he asked us to give up. He's testing us by our ability to move because he said he wanted something. So it's never so much the sacrifice as it is your ability to obey and to do it willingly. You know what I love about Abraham in this text? Not one time do we see Abraham offering his own reason or rationale for anything that God has required of him. As a matter of fact, when you look at Genesis chapter 22, after the Lord says to him in verse 2, this is what I want. Verse 3 says, the next morning, Abraham got up early.
Wow. Yes, sir. Yes,
He didn't hesitate. He moved. Can I tell you the second thing that God is testing? He's testing your ability to hear and discern his voice. It's funny how we can hear God clearly when what God said we agree with. But we don't hear him so clearly when he says something we don't want to do. When the Lord sent a little word to you, prophet called out your address and everything, you stood in the $100 line, and the word of the Lord that came to you was, your husband is coming. You never shouted before, but that Sunday, you found your praise feet. That Sunday, you realized you would take off a pair of shoes to run. That Sunday, you were ready. And then when the Lord said, hey, I know you've been dating this dude for six years, but he ain't the one. Hear God when you want to hear God. If Abraham couldn't hear God in the test when God said to him, give me your boy, he wouldn't have been able to recognize his voice when God said, don't kill it. What are you saying? I'm saying to you, Paris, that sometimes God tests our ear by telling us to do something we don't want to do. And if you pass the test in doing with God what you don't want to do, you will hear God clearly when he tries to give you what you really want. Is the chicken ready? What we eating today? Because we're gonna need to eat after this. I just feel like. What are we eating today? Oh, we do have shrimp and grits. And what? Pork sliders? Chicken sliders? It's church. We're going to have chicken in there somewhere, you know. They got enough shrimp for all these people. This, y'all going to get like 1.5 shrimp a piece. He's testing his ear. He's testing his willingness, but then also, he's testing his trust.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He's testing his trust that God is actually faithful. Watch this. Abraham had a promise, not just that God was going to give him a son, but that he was going to make him a father of many nations. Isaac is really step one in the whole of what God has promised Abraham. Isaac is the son of promise, but he's most appropriately step one of the promise, which now when God says give him back, he's got to trust that God is not going back on his word, even though he's taking back his gift. This went over so much better when I read it this morning. Some of us think that if God is repositioning what he's given us, that he's changed his mind. When God reserves the sovereign right to move things in our life the way he sees fit. Because what we may not realize is while we're playing checkers, God is playing chess. And we think every jump is a loss. And God doesn't always see it as a loss, because for the chess players, you know, sometimes you'll sacrifice something small in order to save what matters more. Y'all ain't talking to me right there. And so when God is calling for you to give up some stuff, what he's really checking is whether or not in the moments of your loss, you still believe that what he said he was going to do, he's going to do. And I don't know why he's chosen to take these things out of my life, but I believe if he promised me, because he's not a man that he should lie, he's going to do exactly what I need him to do. Would you give your neighbor the first of four high fives and tell him he's not lying to you, he's not lying to you. He wants to know, what will your attitude be when I take back what I first gave you? What will your attitude be when I tell you that it's going to take you longer to get there than what you originally thought? Will you think that I've cheated you and that my promise is not going to come to pass? Or will you be faithful enough to stand in the middle of your loss? Will you be at the funeral and still say, I know what has happened, but I know more what he promised me? And even though this looks like the end, I still believe that God is going to keep his word. Can I get about 10 people who know that God will be keeping his word even when it seems like all has been taken away from you? Give your neighbor the second high five and tell him, I can trust him because he's faithful. And so Abraham goes up to the mountain. And Abraham does not know that this is a test. Abraham does not know that God is checking him to see if he can really give him the fullness of the promise that he made to him. And so what God does is he lets Abraham get to the very last second. Can I help you this morning? Some of you have gone up the mountain, but God's not going to stop you yet. Some of you have prepared the thing he wants from you as a sacrifice, but God's not going to stop you yet. Because some of us do enough, we think, to prove to God that we're ready, and we stop short of that final step that actually communicates that if God takes this from me, either he's going to give it back or give me better. All I know is that he promised. And so for every person who's been hesitant, I'm going to come this morning with the simple opportunity to push you all the way over into totally trusting God. It is not until God knows that Abraham is serious about sacrificing that he lifts his hand with the knife in his hand. And right at the moment he's about to bring it down, God says, Abraham, it was only. Now, this is not for everybody, so I don't expect everybody to say amen. But for those who've already lifted your hand with the knife in it, and you're getting ready to kill that text thread, you're getting ready to kill about 25 contacts out of your phone, you're getting ready to kill some negative connections that you've been having, you're getting ready to kill some of the stuff that's in your refrigerator and in your glove compartment, you're getting ready to kill some of the conversations that you've been having, you're getting ready to kill some of the channels on your DirecTV, you're getting ready to kill some of the books in your library, because some of that stuff don't do nothing but fill your head with thoughts about what you should or could be doing. But you've determined today, I've done it for the last time. I don't know what God is trying to get out of me, but whatever he's asking for, I'm going to give it to him. And because you've decided to give it to him, I came to tell you this morning, God wants to see how much he can trust you by testing how much you can trust him. Would you give your neighbor the third high five and tell him God's really testing you in your trust? God wants to see if you will hold still. God wants to know if you will be faithful to what he has promised you. I wish I had about 17 people who could say, I will not fail this test. I don't like how it looks, and I don't like how it feels, but I will not fail this test. As a matter of fact, you ought to look at somebody that looks like they owe you money and tell them, I said I ain't gonna fail. Let me tell you why I cannot fail. Because I believe God at his word. I believe that it was never meant for it to just feel good for me, but it was meant for it to be good to me. I believe God so strongly that everything he's ever done, he's still able to do it again. Have I got one witness there? Is there anybody here who can say, I know God is able to keep his promises? And because he's able to keep his promises, I'm going to maintain my trust. Have I got one witness? Is there anybody in here that can say, today is a new day for how I serve my God? Today is a new day for how I live for Jesus. This will be the day that I don't fail the test. I know I failed tests in the past, but this is the one that I'm about to go over and show that God is faithful to his promise. I need just one more high five. You need to look at that neighbor and tell them, let's pass the test. Have I got one witness? Somebody ought to jump up on your feet and say, I'm going to pass this test. I'm going to give up what I got to give up, because whatever I give up ain't got nothing on what God's going to do in my life. Have I got another witness? Somebody that knows whatever you sacrifice, God can give it back or give you better. And so there's no reason for you to feel like you got to hold on to the blessing that you already have. You ought to come in on this good Sunday morning with an intention to let go of whatever you got to let go of, so that you can receive from God whatever you need to receive from God. How many high fives have we had? Can I get one more? This is the last one, I promise. This time when you give them a high five, you need to tell them, I will pass the test. Somebody stand up on your feet and give God praise. Come on, give him praise. Listen, listen. It's important that you pass this test. No, hear me. It's important that you pass this test. Because it's this test that God really wants to see what your willingness to obey him is. You don't need the next test. You need to pass this one. You don't need the next opportunity. You need this one. Some of us have grown up all of our Christian lives looking for the opportunity to make up. Looking for opportunity to get extra credit. Y'all remember being in school, don't you? And you had those teachers who always gave you a chance to redeem a failing grade. And then you run into one or two of those old negative, nasty teachers who, just kidding. But you're one into one, you would run into one who didn't give you all of the opportunities to make up. They forced you to take advantage of the moment you were in and pass. Here's where you are right now. Don't expect the mercy of God to just keep washing over every test you fail. Because some of us are really at the end of the mercy we're going to receive in some of those areas of our life. God's getting really tired of some of us taking him for granted. And there's some areas, you know, that every time God tests you in that, you fail. And God is at the point where, hey, this, don't let this be the area that never recovers. Pass the test. He wants to see your willingness to obey. He wants to see your ability to hear and discern his voice. He wants to see if you really trust him. Ultimately, that's what it's all about, whether or not you trust him. This morning, someone needs to trust him. You need to express that you hear his voice. You've already heard his voice, and you know that he desires relationship with you. If I'm talking to you this morning and you don't have a relationship with the Lord, but you desire one, you hear his voice and you want to respond to him, this moment is for you. I want you to take the bold step of coming down to this altar. and allowing one of these elders to pray for you.
You've just received Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. You may order a copy of this message in its entirety or a gift of any amount by calling the church office at 904-439-HOPE. You may also write us at P.O. Box 350-414, Jacksonville, Florida 32235. When you call or write, please reference the date the broadcast aired. We invite you to share and worship with us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Our church is located at 1057 Arlington Road. For directions and more information about the church, visit our website at thecitadelchurch.com. Again, that's thecitadelchurch.com. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time for Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr.